And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
And despite my lovely co-star's generalist introduction, it's spooky season and this is the first October episode.
It is. And we have watched two movies that maybe aren't even horror movies.
One of them is a black comedy.
One of them is a drama, I believe.
Yeah.
But they are twin films. They were released within the same year and they do have the same general premise.
Yeah, and I forgot the bit that I did. It was, the movies were, Before I Fall from 2017 and Happy Death Day from also 2017.
Yeah, so Before I Fall was released, I think, 12th of February.
There was a... Let's just see... Sundance Film Festival, January 21st, 2017, and got a theatrical release in March.
Oh, okay. I think it's set in February, but it's set on the day that Groundhog Day was originally released.
Yeah.
Which I think is the 12th of February. It's just before Valentine's Day, anyway. And then the other one was released November, I think. So it's about 9 months apart, roughly.
Just like a Irish twin. October the 13th.
Oh, okay.
So it was released during spooky season.
It was released during
spooky aimed season. Aimed at couples going on dates to horror movies.
Probably.
Because that is an industry.
Mm-hmm.
They do fall under the same Groundhog Day principle. Where it is a time loop. I'm glad it never became like a thing. I'm glad there wasn't just, like, an endless supply of, like, time loop movies. Obviously, every single action or fantasy sci-fi series has done it.
I'm a time loop fan, so I can't say I dislike the trope.
Okay, so other than Groundhog Day, what is your favorite?
Los Cronocrimines, Time Crimes.
Oh, yeah, Time Crimes is great.
Time Crimes is the best.
Correct.
Time loop film.
Yeah, I was testing you.
I am a Looper fan, as people know, from us having a Looper.
Yep.
Yeah, it's one big loop.
Yeah.
Triangle is a good one.
What was the movie we watched when we were dating during COVID?
Is this like a test?
Yeah, it did come out that way, didn't it?
A time loop film that we watched.
Yeah, there were two people in a house.
Oh, Arc! I love Arc. Arc is a great film.
Yeah.
That was probably like the third or fourth time I had seen it.
Are you sure about that?
Ha 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 ha. Very funny. Arc is a really enjoyable. I think that was a Netflix production.
Palm Springs is probably the best one I've seen recently.
Palm Springs is good. Yeah. What are your thoughts on considering Predestination to be a time loop film?
Well, that's not really a time loop, it's a predestination.
But it is a time loop.
Yeah, but it's like a predestination.
Okay. I mean, it is a time loop.
Yeah, but it's only looping for that one individual.
Right, Spoilers
for Predestination.
I mean, you haven't seen Triangle, have you?
Of Sadness? Yeah, I saw
No,
that.
Not Triangle of Sadness. Triangle. There's a movie just called Triangle that is a time loop film.
Okay.
Does it move in
a triangular fashion at right
angles? Yes, a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting.
As in, like, the loop can go in either in two
You've
different ways.
You've seen Primer, right?
Yeah, I've seen Primer.
Good. Otherwise, I'd have to left you.
I don't think Primer is as revolutionary as, like, or as, like, no, I think it's overrated a little bit. But
yes, but for, like, the budget.
But I say that, sorry, I must say, I say it's overrated. I don't think most people have heard of it.
Yeah, true.
Overrated within
the weird within, cult community.
Yeah.
That form around these weird movies, like Cube and...
I do love Cube.
Platform was really good, but I don't think that really got a...
Does Hypercube count as time loop?
I haven't seen any other Cube. We had this discussion.
Yeah, the sequel to Cube is called Hypercube, and it's about a tesseract instead of a cube.
So a cube within cubes within cubes.
Yeah, but it's like there's a time element to it. Right. There's like an extra dimension.
There's a time element to everything. It's just linear.
Okay, there's a non-linear time element.
Oh, non-linear! I love non-linear time elements. Enough ranting and bullshittery aside, folks who are listening from home, work, or transit. Or you could be in a time loop. This episode is not going to help you, because I'm going to rip one of these movies to pieces. Is there anything you would like to say before we get into it, Lisa?
I think one of these movies is better than the other.
That's a given.
and I think it is, in this case, not always the case, in this case it is the one that was more successful. As in, went on to have sequels.
Yes. Hang on, you said... What? Are you saying the more successful one is the worst one?
No, it's a better one. I said one is better than the other.
Okay, I thought you... Oh, my God. Okay. So, to
Sometimes the more, like, you know, mainstream successful movie is not the better movie. In this case...
Yeah, it is.
It is.
okay. Happy Death Day is an enjoyable movie.
Mm-hmm.
Before I Fall is not...
This is the second time I'd seen Before I Fall, and I did enjoy it the first time. I don't like the characters as people.
Yeah.
And they don't really have any development.
Well, yeah, because it only happens in one day.
It's just like a... It's kind of it's just a stupid movie if you don't really want to think to it. You know, if you're just looking for like something to put on in the background.
I think this movie, the Before I Fall, comes off as a movie that feels like whoever created it wanted to make a movie that when niche film people said to their not so niche film friends or just regular people, haven't seen this movie? Like, that's the kind of, like...
Really? Okay.
Like, fart smelly, enclosed, like, farting in an elevator kind of feel that I got about this movie.
It was on Netflix, so I don't know if that's...
It's what it felt like.
I don't think Netflix is the home of artsy movies that people...
It was the home of a lot of weird... artsy projects in the beginning.
Yeah, this was not in the beginning. This was 2017.
I didn't have Netflix in 2017.
Can I tell you my favorite piece of trivia that I found out about it?
Sure.
So the lead actress in Before I Fall, the lady who you
described as low definition.
Yeah, yep. You kept saying she had low definition face. So Zoe Deutsch is her name. And I've seen her in this and a couple of other films. What I didn't know is that her mother is Lea Thompson. Now, is that a familiar name to you, Nick, who's not very good with names?
Yes.
Who is she?
I don't remember. The name's familiar.
Okay, how about I'll give you the name of a character she plays. You might recognize this name. Lorraine McFly.
Weird.
So Marty McFly's mother is her actual mother. So that's interesting that she ended up in a time loop movie when her mom is famous for the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yeah. Just something about it was either the way it's like, okay. I will give Before I Fall one piece of credit.
Mm-hmm.
The actors are closer in a believable way to the counterparts they're playing on screen. Because Happy Death Day is a bunch of college students, and they are, it's going back to the 90s when, like, 30-year-olds are playing college kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's been to a college recently, and I remember what I looked like at college when we did that weird deep dive looking back at, like, photos I was in college, and you look like a goddamn baby, and everybody I knew looked like babies. No one had, like, I don't know a singular person. Maybe it's a small town, and maybe it's just New Zealand, but I don't remember anybody having, like, washboard abs and a 5 o'clock shadow at their first class in the morning.
Yeah, I have no idea, because that's what a lot of American media looks like.
Yeah. Take, like, 5-year gap years?
Well, I don't know. Is that what college students look like in America? Or, like,
No, because
is it also an unrealistic standard over there?
It's 100% an unrealistic
because
standard.
Because that's absolutely... Because I love... There's a comparison I've seen a few times, which I think is very funny. And it's comparing the TV show Euphoria, which I've never watched, but I've seen what the characters look
is
like.
Is it the one with...
Zendaya. Yeah. So you've seen what the characters look like in that, yeah. Right? And saying... Comparing the look of the characters in Euphoria to the look of the characters in Derry Girls, where they're playing
yeah.
the same age group in the same stage in school in two different countries, and it's like, oh yeah, that's what I looked like and felt like
yeah,
when
yeah.
I was 17 years old. Like, I did not, this other thing is not remotely like any experience that I had, you know?
Yeah. It's always the girl who wears makeup always wears way too much makeup.
Yeah.
Like, everything is to the extreme.
And I mean, Derry Girls, like, most of them are in their 20s. Some of them are in their 30s
yeah.
playing teenagers, but, like, they incredibly look... believably.
Yeah, yeah.
it's well cast, well costumed, and well, you know, the makeup is done in a way that, like, it looks, they look like they're teenagers.
Yeah.
Believably so, unlike, you know, all these American shows where they're all, like, models.
Yeah.
Literally
and
models.
Weirdly, Japanese anime also does it as well.
What, where they're all, like, adult models?
But they're, like, supposed to be, like, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a strange thing. I just, like, it seems to just be very prevalent, but it's especially, I feel like, in American media.
Yeah.
And I don't know, do teens just look entirely different over there? But I suspect they don't.
No.
You know, maybe it's, maybe you just, you know, I was going to make a really terrible joke that I won't make.
Okay. moving on from Lisa's terrible joke that got the podcast cancelled. Happy Death Day is... Yeah, it's a black comedy. It's not technically a horror movie.
It's definitely...
It's a slasher
film. Yeah, I was
going
to say it's definitely
which
playing
is a
on
subgenre
yeah.
in horror.
It is playing the slasher trope. 100%.
The killer is... Spoilers, obviously.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Actually, really, really well written.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day, on the other hand...
No, this is... What?
Oh, sorry. Before I Fall, on the other hand... is strangely unfulfilling, and I feel like Happy Death Day just kept me engaged the entire time.
Yeah. It's interesting because, I mean, Before I Fall, you start off, she gets to a place of not caring too quickly, and that's what pisses me off about it. It's like, because I think they're trying to emulate Groundhog Day, where he's at a point where he doesn't care about whatever, but, like, in Groundhog Day, they make it clear that it took him, like, hundreds of times through this, like, he's literally mastered other skills and things, so it's like, how long has he been in this loop, you know? Whereas Before I Fall, it's like, she finds out after maybe two loops that it's not her death that's causing it,
yeah.
that it's looping anyway. Because she does die the first couple of times. And then, yeah, when she wakes up and realizes it's not that, she just instantly doesn't care about anything and is a dick to everyone and is like, I tried changing everything and nothing changed. And it's like, you tried one thing.
Yeah.
You literally tried one
thing. It is very much the teenage girl equivalent of, I tried something and it didn't work, so I give up.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've quoted this before, but it estimates as 12,000 times for Groundhog Day.
Oh, for Groundhog Day?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So about 34 years.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, yeah. But it makes it very clear. And this, yeah. And there's hints, I think, I can't remember if they say it outright, but there's hints that he did try killing himself.
Yeah.
And then woke up.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's some very horrifying implications in Groundhog Day.
Palm Springs, I think, did it very well. I thoroughly enjoyed that movie. It's a great movie. Mm. If you enjoy the genre, if you can, because there's a lot of people that are really polarized on the subject of Andy. What's his last
Andy
name?
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg.
I will say, for the people who are polarized, I'm not an Andy Samberg fan.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy Palm Springs.
You also watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I did watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I didn't particularly like him in it, but, yeah. You know. And I didn't watch all of it, but I didn't get to the end of it.
Yeah, don't.
Okay.
Stop watching it before it got taken over by other people.
Yeah, but, yeah, I do like Palm Springs. Happy Death Day, I think she has a more normal reaction to it, and she does the whole, like, trying to explain to people thing, and then, like, gets a plan from someone else, and then goes through trying multiple times to enact that plan, and then, like, does the annoyed, like, your plan didn't work, and he's like, what are you talking about? Why are you looking shocked?
I just realized I forgot a great time loop movie.
Oh, yeah, what was it?
You haven't seen it.
Oh, what is it? Oh, you can't tell me because it's a spoiler that's a time loop? Or is it...
I don't know.
Live, Die, Repeat.
It's Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live, well, Die, Repeat.
That's what the... Yeah, I know. They literally call it that.
Yeah.
So it's... I think it's supposed to be a time loop movie.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why? I don't think it's a spoiler that's a time loop movie. If it is, then they did terrible marketing for it. Source like Code is interesting.
Yeah, well. Source Code's an interesting time loop movie.
Yeah. I genuinely love time loop movies.
Yeah. I'm glad the genre, like, because there's a lot of sci-fi shows, I can name ones that I forced you to watch, that all have time loopy episodes in them. Mm. The Farscape one's pretty good. Do you remember that one? It keeps getting the lady trying to have sex with Crichton, who looks like Diago, whatever his name is, Diago.
No,
she's like a subspecies, but it turns out she's like just like, spoilers for Farscape, like a enemy spy who's trying to like steal black hole technology.
I really don't remember this at all.
And she's like, he's carrying like a death mask of.
It's just not a good show.
It's a great show. So anyway, this is the end of the episode and a podcast and a relationship. Happy Death Day, like the, oh my God. Okay, I'm going to jump to, I think, the pinnacle of this entire movie.
Oh, okay.
She has the perfect run. And I fucking love it. Because Before I Fall has like the rebellious teenage, like, white girl solution to everything, which is I'm going to be a dick to all my friends,
yeah,
and like dress in a slutty dress and put eyeliner on and, you know, do all these like edgy things that I normally don't do because I'm the quiet.
Yeah.
Like, it's the opposite of a pick me, the blank slate for people to put their own selves on.
Mm.
Ergo Bella and Twilight. Yeah, she does all this, but the other one is just like Happy Death Day. She gets the perfect loop. She's super nice to everybody. She's doing all these cool things. She kills the killer before the killer can kill her.
Yeah.
And spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
He was never the killer.
He was never the killer. And she gets the cupcake that her roommate made her. And she dies in her sleep and wakes up the next day.
And you're like,
holy shit.
Yeah.
It was never the, like, imprisoned, currently in hospital, escaped serial killer.
That it's implied killed her mom.
Yeah.
It's
so good.
Yeah, it was the roommate tried to poison her with a cupcake, and every other run, she didn't eat the cupcake.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. And it's funny, because remember, I think I said it, I was getting annoyed that they introduced this guy out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, 2/3 of the way into the movie, they're like, oh, and there's this serial killer who killed my mom who was in the hospital, and he must have escaped and done it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a letdown, because considering, you know, how good this was going with the slasher genre to this point, like, it's always someone who was introduced at the beginning. And spoiler alert, it was someone who was introduced at the beginning.
Yeah, it's such a good, because that's like, that's the pinnacle of these time loops.
Yeah.
All of media is just like the person getting everything perfect that last time, and the loop ends, and they carry on.
Yeah. Before I Fall did it as well. I mean, not as, they didn't do it as well as it, but they also did that she had her perfect loop where she, you know, got her friends to stop bullying the girl, and then she went and spent time with her family and was, you know, and she was really nice to her sister and went out in the woods with her, and then had, you know, had dinner with her parents and was all, and then went to the party to do what she thought she needed to do to stop the loop, and it didn't work, so she went back the next day and just only did that.
Yeah.
So no one else remembers that she had the perfect thing, or that she had made this, you know, had this nice relationship with her sister for that day or whatever.
What annoys me about this movie is it's the Before I Fall is because she is so stereotypical, and her friends all play like a cut and paste, like, stereotype.
She's, I think what they were trying to go for is that she's Katie Heron, Lindsay Lohan's character from Mean Girls.
Right.
Where she's just, like, slotted into this group of mean girls. Yeah. You know, it's the realization that her friends actually are really shitty. Yeah. Which is why it's ironic that she originally goes for the I'm going to be a dick to everyone route rather than the, oh, we should be nicer people route. Whereas the whole premise of Happy Death Day was that the guy who wrote it said that, like, so much of the slasher genre or horror in general starts off with a mean girl getting killed and ends with a nice girl saving the day.
Right.
And he said, why can't it be the same girl?
Yeah.
So he started off with a mean girl getting killed, and she fucking loops until she becomes the nice girl who saves the day.
So there's an interesting thing I want to touch on when you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that. Yeah, exactly as you said. The weird part about Before I Fall is, you know, like, it's this whole ongoing joke in the beginning of the movie between the friends that this is the day she loses her virginity.
Yeah.
It's interesting because she's going out with the hot jock kind of bullshit, you know, it's very much like that very stereotype, and she has no time for the guy who's throwing the party.
Yeah.
That's like the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the loops, it turns out that she was like friends with him when they were like little kids, and there was no like weird gender divide there is in children where, you know, boys and girls can't be friends until it's like a weird ball, saying when they go on the outside, they split apart and then come back together.
Like there's an age where it doesn't matter, and then there's like a group of ages where it's like you can't be friends with them, and then you're back to mingling again.
Yeah, it's it reminds me of every joke about school dances, where like the boys and the girls stand on the other opposite sides.
There's like magnets pulling them.
Yeah, because they can't, they don't want to, but they're like all talk before.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'm going to dance with all the girls. I'm going to go ask them. And then it's like, how do you get a boy to ask you to dance? But then no one does because they're literally children.
Yeah.
And are too afraid to have fun. Mm-hmm. It is very much a very interesting dynamic between those two characters, because in the first couple of loops, she has literally no time for him. They're giving out roses at the beginning. I forgot there was like a main key point. Is it giving out roses? Like,
yeah, it's Cupid Day.
Yeah. Copyright friendly Valentine's Day. Just so Saint Valentine doesn't sue you. pretty sure he's dead. 99% sure anyway.
Well, it's like, I mean, I think they're copying Mean Girls because it's the candy canes. Mean Girls, and it's, you know, and they purposely, you know, that she uses that system to turn them against each other.
Yeah.
And they're using the rose system to bully this girl who used to be best friends or whatever.
Yeah, that is a very interesting, like,
that is also Mean Girls, by the way.
Yes.
Because Janice Ian was formerly Regina's friend.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that a whole thing?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Is like, the reason why they call her Mellow Yellow is because the mean girl, the boss of the group, went through a horrible divorce and started wetting the bed, and then blamed it on somebody else at a sleepover, and then there was like how she became ostracized within the popular girls.
Yeah.
It's just very interesting that they yeah, she develops this like relationship with someone who was a friend. It becomes romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And the bit that pisses me off and the reason why I don't like this movie, I genuinely won't watch it again unless gunpoint, Sophie's Choice, which would be Strider, clearly. Sorry, sweetie.
Wow.
Is, she doesn't, like, fight for it. She just, like, accepts it. She's like, oh, to save this person, I have to... Spoilers. I'm the one who has to kill myself tonight.
Mm.
And that ends the loop. Mm. Even though she's died before in other loops, but that's what saves her.
Well, because the loop...
Is because the girl commits suicide.
Yes, the loop because is...
Because after they bully you.
The loop is when that girl dies. Or yeah. Because that girl dies. Yeah. Not when she dies, because there is one... The first one where Sam survives, they wake up and have the text saying that the girl died.
Yeah.
But the loop seemingly is caused by that girl dying.
Yeah.
So by stopping her from dying, she saves it. But she just like.
But it's so weird that
sacrifices herself.
Yeah, but it just seems strange to me that the only way for the loop to end is her to like. Kill herself in front of her so she doesn't do it later. It seems just like a cop-out of like, oh, and then everyone died at the end.
Mm.
The end. Print the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because whereas it makes much more sense in the other one.
Yeah, yeah, because it just gets so much more, like, there's so much more build. She grows as a character. And then it doesn't matter. It's all reset to zero again.
Yeah.
And again, like, the perfect day doesn't exist. It's, you know, like, Donnie Darko is a great time loop movie.
Donnie Darko is a great time loop movie.
And it is because of spoilers for Donnie Darko. Honestly, I don't know why you're listening to a podcast where two people take two movies in the same plot and premise and watch them when you could be watching Donnie Darko if you've never seen it.
Also, 12 Monkeys.
I do like 12 Monkeys. Had you seen 12 Monkeys before we dated?
We haven't watched it together.
Oh. Must be just me and Strider.
I've only seen it before we dated.
Yeah, me and Strider just watch 12 Monkeys all the time.
Do you?
No. I was just going back to my Sophie's Choice joke.
It'll be on the podcast at some point, I think. Depending on what our
cutoff. Sophie's Choice?
No.
Oh,
stop
12 Monkeys.
Stop referencing Sophie's Choice. 12 Monkeys... Because 12 Monkeys, I mean, spoiler,
no,
12 Monkeys is based on a short film.
You're right.
It is a remake, but I don't, it depends on whether we want to count short films.
Might as well.
In it.
Donnie Darko is fantastic, and Donnie as a character grows and then goes back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Same with Source Code. Unironically, the same actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so disappointing to me as a viewer because I was like, her face is so low definition. What I mean by that is she doesn't...
She's got a baby face.
Yeah, but she doesn't emote with it.
Right.
It's just eyes and a mouth and an oval the whole movie.
Yeah. She's in a terrible rom-com where she tries to set up Lucy Liu with someone, I think.
A character or the actor?
No, okay, sorry. Lucy Liu plays like the CEO of a company and she and Zoe Deutsch plays her assistant or something, personal assistant, and she tries to set her up with some businessman or whatever for, I can't remember why. It's not a very good movie.
I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tom Cardi. I was going to say...
He copyrighted the term businessman.
No, I was going to say shout out to all my cardigans, but I don't know what his, like, followers call themselves.
My cardigans.
my Tom cardigans. It's just disappointing. Like, all of her friends are, like, four-dimensional characters with their own, like, you know, I'm covering up my fears by being a bitch to everybody. I'm the dumb one, I'm the, you know, Asian girl, I'm the, you know, and she's just like, I'm a brunette, I could be the every girl, I'm just going to sit in the corner and agree with everybody, everything else everybody says. Oh, no, I'm the catalyst for the, you know, apocalypse. Have you ever seen a wormhole?
Yeah, I don't get it, because she, like, thinks of herself as, like, a good person and a nice person. But she, even when she's not doing the one where she just is a dick to everyone, she kind of is.
Yeah.
Because she's not very nice to her little sister.
Sister until, like, she starts appreciating, and that's, like,
a
dozen loops in.
Is nice to her sister for one loop, and it's not the final loop, so her sister doesn't know that she was ever nice to her.
Yeah.
So she dies having been a dick to her sister and her parents.
And a dick to her parents, yeah.
So she's a dick to her sister, she's a dick to her parents. She's not a great friend, and she also just goes along with whatever they do, so she bullies that girl, even though then, like, you know, you discover a couple loops, and she's like, hey, why are we mean to her? Because she literally doesn't know.
Yeah.
Which is so stupid.
The other...
And she's a dick to that guy.
Which one?
The guy that likes her.
The guy that she actually has a connection with.
Yeah.
I can't remember the friggin' characters.
It doesn't matter.
They're so low definition, I can't remember the characters' names.
But yeah, she's a dick to him in the beginning. Even for the first few loops, she's a dick to him. And then she's a dick to her boyfriend. But not necessarily in the, like, initially. But she definitely doesn't seem to really care about the boyfriend.
Yeah.
And he definitely doesn't seem to care about her either. So it's very much like an appearances thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's very weird that there's so much build up to her losing her virginity, and, like, it's like all they can talk about in the first, like, I mentioned it, and I'm not looping myself, even though that would be funny. And he just, like, does he know that's happening? Because all he does is get drunk and hit on other people.
Yeah. It's a shitty relationship.
Yeah.
And it's just very stupid. And she's just not a nice person. But she's also not, like, overtly mean girlish. You know what I mean? She's just kind of, like, scenery.
Yeah.
She's just, like, she's literally an NPC.
Yeah.
And I don't know why she's the focus of the movie.
The northwest, eastern, wherever it's set, which is very, like...
The northwest eastern.
Yeah.
South.
No, it's not in the south.
anywhere but south.
Like, north midwest? No, north mid-east? What the hell's it called? What's that area of the states called?
Wait, what area are they even... I don't even know where they are.
They're, like, in the Twilight area.
I don't know where Twilight... I've never watched or read Twilight.
Well...
So I don't know where Twilight is then.
Okay, well, how can you dislike something without enjoying it?
What do you mean?
The softball scene is fantastic.
Have any interest in it.
Muse is cool.
Muse are cool. I do like Muse.
Shout out to Tessa Violet.
Well, it's filmed in... Yeah, shout out to Tessa Violet. Shout out to my Violets. Like,
shout out to Violent Squad.
It's all filmed in Canada, so that's not actually
helpful. Yeah, but that's what it feels like. It feels like Canada.
I don't think it feels...
I know, but, like, that's where it feels. It feels where, like, even on a nice day...
It's probably supposed to be set in, like, Seattle or something.
No, because it's too mountainy, and they drive for, like, ages to get to school.
That's true. They've got a weird, fancy school.
Yeah.
That is, like,
it reminds me of Twilight, and you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen Twilight, yeah. Sorry. It does seem like one very fancy school. Does it say where it's supposed to be?
The mid-east-west, I'm telling you.
The mid-northeast-west.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. How could I have gotten that wrong, you know?
It doesn't even say in the plot.
I don't think we're supposed to know.
But it's mountainous, and it's, like, drizzly and cold, but people still go outside. So it does feel kind of like the southern point of Canada.
Yeah, which is where it's filmed.
Yeah.
So, of course, it feels like that.
Yeah. But it's not, like, Alaska-y, where it's, like, actually, well, it's, like, still... breeding weak people, but, like, it's comfortable and stupidly wealthy because everyone's house is, like, ginormous.
Yeah, and the school is, like
super fancy.
So fancy. It's, yeah. Like,
it's just regular public school in Canada.
Fancy. Is that just what regular public school in Canada is?
I don't know. I've never been.
I mean, I've been to Canada, but not to a public school because I was an adult.
Oh, I was talking about Skull. also
you heard it here. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I'm illiterate. Anyway, what was I reading? Continuing on with this thing. You know, like, the one Happy Death Day negative that I will see is the school that they go to, other than the fact that the actors are, like, 30 and playing, like, 18, 19-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever college they're going to
uh-huh.
has a very bizarre mascot.
The baby.
The baby.
Yeah, well, that's made up for the movie.
I know. I'm aware of that. No school would put a baby as their mascot.
I mean, they might. There's so many schools in the States that if they all have to have different mascots.
Yeah, but they just pick an animal and then give it some sort of mythical powers. It's very easy to come up with a mascot, Lisa. Pick an animal. Any mammal. Pick a mammal. Pick a mammal.
Pick a mammal.
Pick a mammal. Any mammal.
Oh, my God. Saber-tooth tiger.
Okay. Now give it a special ability that, like, one ability that Superman has.
Laser vision.
Yeah, so you get laser saber-tooth tiger as your thing.
I think I've got that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. See, it's sellable instantly. How you make a mascot.
It's laser owl versus space
kitty.
Tiger. Is there something that I can remember?
Laser kiwi. It was a flag.
Laser owl. You know the t-shirt I'm talking about, right? Yeah. The laser owls?
Yeah.
No one else knows what the hell I'm talking about.
It's right fine. Now. That's why they listen to our podcast. Guys,
I've got a laser owl t-shirt. It's laser owls versus... it's space wolf, I think. Is that right? Laser owl versus space wolf. And there's like guys with javelins on the back of the wolves. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't remember my own t-shirt.
That sounds very plausible.
Yeah.
But any of those could have been a mascot over a giant baby.
Yeah,
But he's like supposed to be Cupidity.
I don't think he's supposed to be Cupidity. No, because Cupid is in the other movie. You're confusing yourself.
I'm in a loop.
I was trying to have a look at the trivia I took down. I don't think I took it down, but I remember reading about it that the director wanted something that could be scary, but also could be funny, and was a bit absurd, but still believably could be a mascot.
Yeah. And so that's why the killer for the most half, like basically half the movie, murders her with stabbing. And it's a very like one and you're done kind of stabbing.
Yeah.
Which doesn't feel as, it feels more executionary than menaceful with malice. Spoilers. We've already explained that it was her roommate,
who's a medical student.
She
knows where to stab.
Yeah. Wears this weird baby mask and a black hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. But also because there's loads of people around campus wearing the baby mask.
Their mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's something particular happening. Was there a game? I can't remember.
Lacrosse, maybe? I don't remember.
I can't remember. There was some reason why people were wearing it.
Yeah.
Because it also turns out the first person that you see being creepy in it. Not the first person, because it's a whole group wearing it, I think. And the first person who turns around and stares at her, and you're like, oh no. And then in the second loop, she stops and stares at that person, and it's not the killer, and it's some guy, and he goes off with his friends, and you're like, oh, okay. Just also a person wearing the spooky mask.
The killer is the mask.
The director also tested the mask to see if it would work as a scary mask by just wearing it in his office and scaring one of his coworkers, and then being like, yeah, this will work.
Okay.
Which I think is very funny.
Favorite mask scene is from, is it Baby Driver? Where they all get Mike Myers masks.
Oh, yes.
But he turns up with Mike, like they go Michael Myers as in...
Yeah, as in...
Halloween, but he turns up with Mike Myers as in Austin Powers. It's so great. I think
that's so funny. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Do you want to get into some trivia?
Yeah, I mean, we've already kind of gotten into some trivia. We can continue with some trivia.
You want to talk about budget and box office then?
I actually didn't even take them down, but I can do that. Because I thought that Before I Fall wouldn't have any box office, because I thought it was Netflix production. You said it was released at Sundance, so did you get a theatrical release? I'm just so used to the post-2020 days where all the Netflix things don't get released anywhere.
Yeah.
I think I've already given you the trivia that I had about Before I Fall, which was not very much. And the for Happy Death Day, yeah, I've kind of talked about some of these already. Apparently the script was written...
I don't think this might have been added to Netflix, but it wasn't a, like, Netflix
produced thing. Okay, I thought it was a Netflix produced thing, but obviously it wasn't.
I think you're just lying to our
listeners. No, I just, I saw it on Netflix originally and I thought it was a Netflix produced thing.
It feels that kind of quality.
Yeah, it feels like a Netflix movie. So the script was written, I think maybe the shitty rom-com she's in was a Netflix production. That seems like, it's called Set It Up, which is a stupid name for a movie. Anyway, the script for Happy Death Day was apparently written 10 years earlier, allegedly in 2007, and it was supposed to be produced by Michael Bay and starring Megan Fox.
That smells like all of that already.
Yeah.
He is a creep. She deserved better. Yeah. She doesn't deserve better now, but she did then.
Yeah. And the university in Happy Death Day is called Bayfield University, which I assume is a reference to
Michael Bay.
Yeah. I feel like nothing against Megan Fox, but I feel like it was well cast in the version that we actually got.
Yeah, and I don't think there'd be enough explosions and,
for Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and shitty.
That'd be annoying CGI. If it was all just explosions.
Every time she gets stabbed, she explodes. Oh, I want to talk about one thing that I completely forgot about. I kept thinking about it and holding the thought and then disappearing the thought.
Do you want to do that or do you want me to read the last bit of trivia first?
Last bit of trivia, please. Okay.
So the last bit of trivia that I have here about Happy Death Day is that the original ending had Tree is the name of the main character, which we haven't mentioned so far, succumbing to her injuries, like, really, because it shows... Oh, that's what you want
to
talk
that's
about.
That's what I was going to get to, yeah.
Is that she...
Is, so, every other death loop, every other loop movie,
mm-hmm.
when you wake up, you're how you woke up that time.
Yeah.
This is the only loop movie I've ever seen, other than the weird scenes in Looper.
Mm-hmm. Which
and,
I love. Those are my favorite bits of
Looper. And the weird thing in Butterfly Effect. Where she's sustaining injuries each loop, and she's, they're healed, I say that in air quotes.
Yeah, so she wakes up healed, but you realize after a certain amount of loops that she's weak, or she realizes she's getting weaker, and then she passes out, and it gets scanned, and it turns out she's got a whole lot of scar tissue from
all where the stabbing. Where she's been stabbed and hit in the head, and,
which is horrifying.
Yeah, that's super fucked.
Yeah. Really cool, though. What an interesting aspect to it. Because she knows that there's only a certain amount she can do.
She's not indestructible.
Yeah, anyway. So the original ending had her succumbing to her accumulated injuries after she kills Laurie, her real killer. And then it says she's being treated for her injuries by her professor's wife.
I forgot about that whole subplot.
Yes, the whole subplot is that she was sleeping with her professor, who is a doctor at the hospital. And then the professor's wife murdered her again as revenge for sleeping with her husband and started a new time loop. And apparently test audiences were raging. They were absolutely fucking furious. They got so angry about it. They said they felt betrayed that the protagonist, after going through all that she does and becoming a better person, that she couldn't break free and ended up in another loop. And it was supposed to be, to let the viewer think, oh my god, this is never going to end. It's kind of like, I'm going to spoil another movie here, because I think we watched it together. The Final Girls?
Yes, we did watch it together.
So spoiler alert for The Final Girls, if you haven't seen that one, which is, I consider that a time loop as well.
Yeah, it's time loop, it's more like... time travel.
Yeah, but there is at least a couple of loops at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, when they don't get in the car, and then the car comes back after the runtime of the film. And spoiler alert, so Final Girls is they're in a cinema watching a cult classic slasher film that one of their dead mothers was in, and then the cinema goes on fire, and they go through the screen, and they end up in the movie somehow.
Yeah.
But the spoiler,
Last Action Hero style.
the spoiler is that at the end, when they survive it, they're in a hospital, they wake up in a hospital, and then it turns out it's the sequel to the movie, and they're stuck in the sequel, which is so good. But that's obviously the same kind of thing they were going for here, that she's ending up, you know, she never actually gets to leave the loop, she's still in another loop. But people really hated it, so it got scrapped and they reshot the ending. They literally did a new ending. But then apparently the sequel ignores the new ending, it says. But I don't know what that means, because I haven't watched the sequel yet. So we'll have to watch the sequel to find out, I guess.
Do we?
I think it'll be fun. I enjoyed Happy Death Day. I'd be happy to watch the sequel.
Okay. Yeah.
Not for the podcast, just for fun.
Just for funsies.
Yeah. Did you say you had the budget in box office, or do you
want to? Yeah, I do. You know which one made more, because you mentioned it at the beginning.
Well, Happy Death Day was, you know, got sequels and was more, like, people know Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
I don't think many people know about Before I Fall.
Okay. So I will give you, which one do you think was more expensive?
I feel like Happy Death Day was more expensive as well. It wasn't?
No. By $200,000 cheaper. So Happy Death Day was $4.8 million
right.
cost. And Before I Fall was $5
million.
How many dollars do you think was between the two of these movies? As in profit at, well, from revenue from the movie.
As in, like, the box office, or as in how much...
Just got box office. I don't have, like, royalties and DVD sales or anything.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, box office, or the difference between budget and box office?
The box office. What do you reckon the difference is between the box
something
office?
Something fucking astronomic. I think... So you're saying budget was $4.8 million for Happy Death Day.
Correct.
I'm going to say box office, $32
million. Okay.
And for the other one, $5 million budget... $7 million box office.
You're off by about $90 million.
$90 million? How much did... Oh my god, so that made like 100 and...
Before I Fall cost $5
million. Yeah.
And made $18.9 million.
Right.
Actually successful.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
I'm not
going to
shit on
that. That's better than I thought.
Happy Death Day cost $4.8 million and made $125.5 million. That's why I got sequels.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I knew it was way more successful. I didn't think it was that much more.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's like a $1 million movie making like $60 million. That's really, well, less, I can't do maths. It's too late at night. Yeah, that's really good.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's well deserved. I think that movie was made by people who loved the genre and really wanted to put something into it. It's a fun movie. I mean, I don't think it's... Well, it is. It's kind of horror comedy.
It's a dark comedy slasher thing.
Yeah. So it is, to some extent, horror comedy.
The hell is this tab? Oh, it's scones. Okay, never mind.
But it's...
It's a scone.
It's very fun. I actually genuinely enjoyed it. The only time I got angry at it was when I thought they were making the serial killer the killer. And that it was like... They're just like... three quarters of the way into this movie, whatever, like, oh, by the way, my mom was killed by a serial killer, and this is him, and he's in the hospital, and he was the killer all along.
Do you know who I thought was the killer?
Her dad? Oh, the doctor?
No.
Who?
The guy that she slept with in the beginning of the movie. That's what I thought was who was the killer.
Ooh.
That was like...
That's a twist.
Yeah.
No, I think they did it perfectly. I think the roommate who made her a cupcake, because there's hints that she's an absolute dick to her roommate.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why is her roommate making her a cupcake anyway?
Yeah.
And she didn't make her a cake.
Yeah, just...
She didn't make her something to share. She made her something just for her.
For her, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
There's hints to it, though, in the movie.
Okay.
I don't know, did you catch those?
No, it was the first time I was watching it.
It was the first time I was watching it. But I caught one of them and I was like, wait. I was like, that's weird. But I didn't really think much more of it. Which was that when... You know the time she gets arrested by the cops?
Yeah.
And then the killer, like, sets fire to the oil spill and explodes her.
Yeah.
She uses the birthday candle from the cupcake.
Oh, right.
And I was like, that's so weird. And I was like, is it just because the killer knows her and knows it's her birthday? Like, yeah, is that it? Like, why are they using a birthday candle? Oh, I can't remember what the other... There was another hint that was her. And I remember being like, oh, when I looked it up. I can look it up again real quick. But I remember just being like, oh, they did do some fucking foreshadowing. But I did, like, I remember noticing the candle, because I was like, that's a weird
way to light.
Yeah, I just thought it was a weird detail. I thought it was a very weird specific detail. Oh, the other one was a bit more subtle. I feel like in the first day before the loop happens, she goes to see the professor who she's cheating on, who she's having the affair with, in the hospital, and her roommate knows about the affair because she says to her I think she tells her she should end it, but then she says it's bound to have some pretty serious consequences.
Mm.
And obviously the serious consequence was, I'm going to kill you for doing this. I did think, like, when the killer used a birthday candle to light that, I thought it was an odd choice, and then with the reveal at the end, it makes so much more sense that she would have had that on her, you know. And the irony of using your own birthday candle to blow you up.
Thank you for joining us. If you enjoy this episode or you enjoy the concept of our podcast, please share it with people. It helps us get engagement. It actually matters a lot more than actual listens. It's very bizarre. You can also join our podcast or visit our join our podcast. Join our podcast. There's 10,000 people tied up with duct tape in this room right now. Join our Discord server. Link in the, I'm going to say, show notes.
It's show notes.
Correct. It is show notes. Okay.
You're getting it.
And you can go to our website, ittakes2.co.nz, made by my lovely co-host. Thank you for joining
us. I thought you just forgot my name.
No, I remember your name.
You're just like, it's my lovely co-host, and then just like stared at me blankly.
It's carved into my chest in a way where I can read it in the mirror.
Okay, I mean, don't do that.
Red rum.
Our next episode.
Islam. I don't know. I don't know.
We're saying Islam.
I don't know what Lisa would be backwards.
Azel.
Azel.
Islam.
I don't know. It's late.
Hi, my name is Malsy.
Malsy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Malsy.
And I'm... Oh, no, it'd be Kin. Why don't I make just a breaking neck noise? I'm losing it. I need to get out of this room. It's too warm.
Our next episode is...
A Halloween episode?
It's a Halloween episode, but it's also episode 85, so it's a fun episode. So it's going to be a weird one, I think. But
I don't even know what it is.
Spoilers.
Nick has kept in the dark.
It is. I mean, you should know. It is a movie that you love and a movie that neither of us have ever seen before.
That's so many movies.
Yeah, exactly. It's a surprise for everyone.
It's like...
It's...
One point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really strange one, but we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But look forward to that, everyone, because we're going to have a weird Halloween episode.
I won't see you there, but you will hear me.
Yeah, you'll hear both of us. Goodbye.
Goodbye.